Hey everyone, welcome to We the People, your favorite weekly Nintendo podcast. My name is Michael Cottrell, and I'm joined here, as always, by my twin brother, player two since the womb, Matthew Cottrell.
What's up with y'all?
I'll tell you what's up with y'all. we have finally gotten our hands on arms, and...
We got our arms on arms.
Yeah, well, I was going for, like, body parts and, you know, things like that, but you kind of ruined it. You ruined the joke, Matthew.
We've got our arms
But anyway, I know we're kind of late to the party. We finally played it. But, you know, I bet there's a lot of other people, like, out there who have a Switch. They have Mario Kart, they have Zelda, but they haven't given this game a try. And we're here to just give some first impressions from some people who were, you know, I would say semi-pros in Super Smash Bros.
That's a funny movie.
Care
by
very
the way.
Deeply. Yes.
Semi-pro.
Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, we care very deeply about the competitive scene in games, and we're wondering if ARMS is going to exist in competitive play, you know, 2 months from now, or if it's just going to be a fad like Pokken Tournament. But that's what we're here to talk about. We have only dived into the versus mode. We've played with a bunch of different characters, kind of seen the games. You know, overall, like, first impression, we haven't gotten unlocked any of the different arms yet or, you know, downloaded any of the DLC characters. But here we are. Let's, this is going to be a shorter episode, guys. So let me take care of the housekeeping here. We the People is a product of the Bento Block. You can find our other work at thebentoblock.com or the Bento Block at YouTube or, you know, various social medias, the Instagram, Twitter, all that jazz. If I had a piece of work to pimp out to you guys, head over to the YouTube channel and check out the latest video essay I did. It's called Chance the Rapper in the Modern Music Economy, about how Chance has a very unique career that is in a very different direction than we're used to as far as music goes. A little out of the game's wheelhouse, but that's what we like to do at the Bento Block. We like to have variety, a segmented variety, where we just get, you know, we get to talk about video games, we get to talk about, you know, artistic integrity, we get to talk about economy, we get to talk about fatherhood, you know, that's what it's all about.
So for all you Atlanta-loving, Nintendo-loving, hip-hop-loving people out there,
yeah, well,
Bento Block is for you.
You don't have to like everything, but if you do like everything, or you like something enough... to want to give, we have a Patreon page at patreon.com/thebentoblock, and we would really appreciate your support. We got some perks, like how it's made videos. We got some behind the scenes kind of stuff, so check it out. See if it's something you'd be interested in. Regardless, thank you so much for tuning in. You can rate and review us on iTunes or subscribe to us on YouTube if you want to throw us a bone without having to spend any money. And if you don't want to throw us any bones, we're gonna be some hungry puppy dogs, but we'll be okay. We'll be okay.
Because we do it.
We do it for the people.
For you.
We do it for you guys. We do it for you guys. So, without any further ado, let's talk about ARMS multiplayer.
Spring on in.
And I want to start with your impressions of the game before you played it. What did you think watching it at, you know, E3 at the original Switch presentation and just kind of leading up to now?
I was always very underwhelmed about it. You know, when they first announced the game, I remember looking at it like, this looks ridiculous. And, you know, I had phases throughout that where the game looked more and more fun. I remember when these guys from Nintendo were demoing the game, I'm like, okay, that looks a little better than I thought. But then very close to its release date, when they kept talking about it more and more, I just... You know, I felt like it'd be one of those games that was fun to play every now and then, but it wasn't very deep. And, you know, that's okay depending on, you know, how you want to play your games, you know?
Yeah.
For some people, I mean, things like Wii Boxing is fun. And so, you know, for those people, that's what I thought. Okay, it'll be a great game for, you know, if you just want to goof around or you just have people over, you just want to have a good time. Sure, it looked great for that, but, you know... As far as, like, would I put a lot of time into this by myself? Initially, I thought, no, absolutely not. But, so I kind of went back and forth with it. I had a short stint where I'm like, that looks like a lot of fun. And then it kind of, you know, was my interest in it dropped back down.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a very similar relationship with the game. I mean, from that first reveal with... the Spring Man and Ribbon Girl, they're just very blasé characters. You know,
I think that was the biggest thing with that game, is usually in every game there's a character that you can either relate to or you like a lot. This game, there was no characters that felt interesting.
Yeah.
They're all just so generic.
I
mean,
I think when we got down the line, you know, if you look at the roster, like, the further down you get, the more interesting it gets. You know, they've got Spring Man, who's your all-around guy. You know, he just beat punches and stuff. He has slinkies for hands, or for arms, and Ribbon Girl, you know, same kind of deal. The ninja characters, like, you know, he's a ninja. We could have expected that. But when you get into some characters like the tankish mummy, when you get into the Cobra, Kid Cobra with the Slapamanders, you get into that girl in the robo suit that looks like a very suggestive robo suit, and then you get into my guy, Helix. Helix is my boy. You don't understand. There's both in looks and in gameplay, they did a pretty good job in really differentiating these characters outside of those first couple that we mentioned. They're all kind of, you know, meh.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it definitely got better as it went on, but even as a whole, it's still like a very, like, bleh.
Well, and I think there's, what, like, under 10 characters, and there's promised DLC characters that are going to come at no additional cost.
I think there's already one that's...
Yeah.
Brass Man or something like that.
Yeah, so there was one that was announced, but let's jump into that. You know, fighting games are often all about the characters. Let's talk about the characters, some of our favorite ones, and what we like about it. I like to start with this point, that they've done a good job of making every character play the same, but excel at different things, have different sorts of risks, different sorts of rewards, and then you have, of course, the changing of arms out to further differentiate your character. For instance, you know, we mentioned Spring Man, Ribbon Girl, they're pretty standard, they're all fundamentals, you know, you punch, you dash, you jump, not much to see there. But you get into a character like Helix, and I really gravitated to him because he's just very interesting. When The Y button is a dash that you can use to dodge different punches and move around a little bit faster on the map. You can dash in the air. And Helix, instead of dashing, sinks into the ground and is almost impossible to hit with regular punches. You got to kind of hit him at an angle. And I found that really interesting because you can hold the dash button and he gets the charge attack. And he is very reliant on his charge attack, which with the blorbs anyways. And when you hit people, it will block their vision, allowing you to do a follow-up. And he depends very heavily on that because those punches are slow. They don't do much damage. And his moveset really just kind of lends itself to being able to do those kinds of setups. If he holds the jump button rather than jumping straight in the air, he will stretch his body upward and be able to hit people at an angle. And then you've got other people like the cyborg and the cop and the dog.
Bite and Bark.
Bite and Bark. When I was playing him, I was sometimes using, you know, expecting the dog to block the hit, and then just, you know, using that as an opportunity to catch my opponent off guard. The ninja character is just, he seems kind of broken. He's really fast, does a ton of damage, and he's a great grab. But then you get into the mummy, which I'll have you talk about his weaknesses and strengths.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's one of those things. I like this about the game, but I also hate it because this is the only problem you have with fighting games when every character essentially is the same, but they have different abilities, is because that inherently makes the game extremely unbalanced, because, you know, they all pretty much work the same way, but then it just comes down to which ability is better than the other. Like, when you tried out the Ribbon Girl, you know, the ability to, her charge attack, just if she touches you, it, you know, renders both of your arms useless, and you know, that's a really good thing, whereas like the mummy's blocking thing is healing 10 HP.
Yeah.
And, which is just, honestly, it's kind of useless to an already like very slow character and whatnot. But That's why it's just that's the only thing for me is, like, some characters' abilities seem really good, like the ninja or the ribbon girl, and then some are just kind of like, you know.
Well, in ribbon girl, the electric was a particular arm, so we don't know exactly, like, I mean, due to the direct, you can have any arm you want, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but
I mean,
I don't know if
theoretically.
The abilities work the same way, though. Like, I don't know if I used Helix's blorbs with the mummy.
Yeah.
Would, like, blind you.
I feel like it would, but.
Yeah,
we don't know for sure.
Yeah, it may all just be based on the arms. But even then, if that's the case, then what's the point of even playing different characters?
Well, you have slightly different attributes. You know, the mummy doesn't get stunned as much. He has a fantastic grab. Damage-wise. Or, you know, you play the ninja so that you have, like, four-frame attacks.
How much damage you do and everything, don't they?
They should, but not really for grabs. It seems like grabs, you always do the same damage. Which
yeah.
is something that I don't like so much about the game, because I think Helix is about as much damage per grab as the mummy, and then I think Springman does like a little bit less, but it's so much easier to land a grab with some of those characters. I mean, their grabs are insane, and the mummy should be, you know, kind of that Zangief thing where you get a grab and you'd make a serious dent in someone, because there's, you know, is he's a lot easier to dodge.
I think and that's also another thing that's weird about that game, because if you look at any competitive fighting game, grabs are always the same for like every character. You know, there's games like Smash where some characters have like a terrible running grab, for instance, but for the most part everybody has about the same grab, and even then I think in Smash 4 they made it so that most people have like
a very
same,
similar standing
yeah.
grab, yeah.
And so that's one thing that's weird about the game, because I think because grabbing's such a big thing in fighting games where it allows you to get past somebody's defense or things like that, but when you give some people better grabs than others, and especially in this game, grabs are probably the best attacks. They do the most damage by far, and so I don't know why it even makes sense to make some people's grabs inherently better than others. Or, like, if it's going to be a faster grab, it should do a lot less damage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I would think, you know, the risk and reward factor. But yeah, that doesn't seem to be the case. All this being said, the game can be patched, so they can adjust these changes as they go. From what I've read in Kotaku, there's a couple of characters, the Ninja and Kid Cobra, are being sort of the top of the tier, where Ribbon Girl's very good. I haven't heard very much else about any other character, but I'm excited to jump online and see how I can do. Haven't been able to get the chance to do that yet. So we've talked about the characters. How do you feel about the arm system itself?
I mean, it's one of those, it's tough to say, because like the game is... Oh my gosh.
I'm gassy, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gassy. I'm leaking.
Anyways. I think that what were we talking about? I'm sorry.
So before I farted, we were talking about the
fart gave me amnesia.
It's been known to do that. We were talking about the arm system.
Oh yeah, it's one of those things that's hard to assess, because it's you know, the game is fun, but it's just so simple. It's basically dodge, punch, dodge, punch, dodge, punch. There's not a whole lot of like, I guess, strategy or thinking that goes into it. I think the big thing that I haven't liked about the arm system or the game so far is it seems to reward playing defensive so much more than it does offensive. Like, I think in every match we played, whenever I would lose, it's because or you would lose or whatever, it's because one of us was trying to be aggressive. And that's just weird, because it seems like that game gives you so many options as far as getting away from an attacker or grab if somebody does it first. Whereas then if you're the defender, that person's pretty much wide open. Like, for instance, if you try to grab and they miss, then they pretty much, you know, have a wide open attempt to grab, which is just odd to me, because, you know, it's always strange in fighting games when defensive play is rewarded over, like, offensive play. I think there should be more of a balance there, but I just noticed that there was almost never a time where being aggressive was like smart or good.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I've noticed with some characters, you can kind of plan for someone to stop guarding or to make a mistake, but ultimately, yeah, I mean, reacting is the easiest way to come to a victory. And I think that's why some of those faster characters are better. You know, you have more of a window to react than someone who's slow. So, yeah, I mean, I would have to agree with that from just watching it and playing it. It just seems like when you are defensive and just waiting for someone to make their next move, it's a lot easier for you to make that sort of counter, that proactive movement, and get a lot more done than someone who's actually trying to be aggressive.
Well, and also, and that's the thing I noticed with, like, when we were playing, I was playing the mummy character, Michael was playing the Helix, which to me, they both seem, you know, awfully slow compared to other characters in the game. And for me, that's probably the most fun we had with it because, you know, everybody was kind of at an even playing field. Whereas, like, I think when I played against Springman, I won one and lost one. But it just seemed like every time I tried to punch, even if you punched first and I dodged and then tried to punch just because of how fast the other character is, there was almost never a time where I hit him. It was more so if, like, I just angled my punch a certain way or this, that, you get a few hits in, you know,
yeah,
here or
yeah,
there. But it just seems like weird. If you're playing somebody who, like, knew what they were doing, like, you would almost never land a punch.
Especially with how much damage I was able to do as Springman. You know, I was able to almost match the mummy's damage, which just shouldn't be the case, but
yeah, it's just at that point, what's the advantage of even being slow, you know?
There usually isn't one.
Yeah, and that's something you and I were talking about earlier. Like, for whatever reason, fighting games have the hardest time making slow characters good.
Yeah.
They either do, like, a bunch of damage, but they're just too damn slow to even hit one attack, or, you know, they give them a few quick attacks like they did in, you know, Smash with DDD, for instance, and, you know, all his quick attacks are the ones that you would use to, like, chain grab or do this or that, and, you know, that ends up being overpowered, so very odd thing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, what else do we have to say about ARMS? Are you excited to play it again?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had fun with it. I think, like I told you before, the way I look at the game is, to me, it's a solid, like, 7 out of 10. And what I mean by that is it's one of those games, like, you can pick it up, have fun with it. It's great if you had friends over, you know, you're shit-talking each other, you're just laughing, having a good time. As far as, like, if I had the game, would I play it by myself? Probably not. I don't think it would hold my attention for more than, you know, 15, 20 minutes if I was trying to play some sort of, like, campaign mode or online. I just think the gameplay is just way too repetitive, you know, to just do over and over again, where, you know, most fighting games, like, what keeps you coming, because fighting games can get repetitive in general, I think what keeps people coming back is learning the different combos, or you know, in games like Smash, it's learning possibilities of combos, or, like, you know, when they had advanced techniques or what have you. But this game is, you know, so simple that, you know, there's not much to it besides, you know, how are you going to react to this? It's pretty much just everything's reaction.
And I'm curious to see how that flies in competitive play, because combos have become such a huge thing that it seems like every game is really adapting to it. You know, it's weird to see Street Fighter V be such a combo-based game, and it's weird to see the Marvel versus Capcomization of everything. I mean, that new Dragon Ball Z fighting game looks kind of like Marvel versus Capcom, that same kind of combo style. And while that's, you know, while that has its place and it's cool, it is interesting to see a game be so kind of be kind of bare bones like this. The only thing that I disagree with as well is the little charge attacks that you get, where you have the opportunity to, just get this enormous hit on, and, like, there's not much risk associated with it except that you might, like, burn yours. I in general, I don't like super special attacks inside of these games. I think they have too much power to sway the tide of a battle. And I know that's exciting, but I think it's also, you know, unbalanced with competitive play.
Yeah, well, to me, I think the perfect way to do special moves was, for me, like, Soul Calibur 5, that game, they, you know, if you do special moves in there, they don't do very much damage to begin with. And what I thought was even cooler is if you do it in a combo, because there's some ways where you can, or, you know, there's ways where you can confirm, you know, your special attack within a combo, but in that game, it ends up making your special attack do less damage. So, you know, for me, I like it in that because it's really just, like, continuing your combo, adding another, like, what would be worth two or three more hits, maybe.
Yeah.
But it's nothing that's, like, game-changing or, like, if you get this off, man, the match is over. And, you know, I wish more fighting games took that approach with moves like that because, you know, nobody ever feels good when you have the complete upper hand and somebody gets some stupid attack off and you lose because of it.
Yep. Yep. That being said, I'm excited to explore the rest of the game. At this point, I think like it's totally worth checking out. I mean, if you haven't ever taken advantage of the free trial you get from Gamefly, it'd be a cool game to rent from there. See if you like it. You know, play with a friend. I don't know if it's worth that $60 price tag again because of the you know, slimness of content. Actually, you know what I would say my biggest gripe with the game. Excuse me, is definitely the stages. They're so blasé, and every one of them has this dumb gimmick in them. Like, you know, the one with where you, like, jump on the Beyblades is, like, you know, that's kind of cool. It's a fun novelty. It's, like, almost like a different mode of the game. But, like, the one with the trampoline in the middle, the one with the trampoline on the edges, the one that has these blocks that, like, you can punch through, but sometimes you can't.
I feel like almost every level has some kind of trampoline in it.
Yeah, some sort of like hazard, and that's I wish there was just one level that was just kind of flat and plain and normal.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing I meant to say before is the stage hazards was another thing that I don't know if I mean maybe possibly you could probably turn them off, but there was one point where you got me in a grab and it was going to even our damage out and a bomb blew up and hit you, so it stopped your grab and hit you, but you ended up with way more damage. And
yeah,
I thought that was one of those that's just one of those things that's kind of annoying. But
yeah, that they defaulted and don't really ask is just kind of weird because it doesn't fit as well in that game as it does in a game like Super Smash Bros, where you're playing like four to eight players at a time.
See, it's so funny, though, because I would love to take a poll on people actually enjoy stage hazards. Because even, like, the casual people we've played with in Smash hate stage hazards, too. I don't think anybody, there's ever a time where somebody looks at it and they're like, man, that was cool.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's kind of cool to weaponize those stage hazards with people, but... but yeah, I mean, it's more of a novelty than a norm. And that's why I feel like there should always be options to turn them off. There should always be, like, an easy way to... get to like a wide selection of levels that you can play with competitive play, because you know ultimately what's gonna keep people coming back to this game is not just like continued play, because it's not like Mario Kart where you're gonna have such a variance in every track and like there's so many different variables at play. It's a for the most part one-on-one battle, and you're not gonna keep doing that if you don't make it deep and competitive. And so they should really lean deeper into that side. The stages are kind of a disappointment, and who knows if you could unlock more, but something tells me you can. That there might be like one or two, but in general not really.
Most likely not,
but that remains to be seen. We'll give you guys updated impressions about ARMS as we come along with them. Perhaps by next week we can give a little impromptu review here on We the People. To cover some other things, there wasn't really much news this week. There was a Fire Emblem Warriors trailer that looks dumb. That game continues to look quite mediocre. And the voice acting is bad. The writing is bad. The gameplay is Dynasty Warriors. And I don't know how you feel about that, but it's nothing greater than good.
We do know one thing. They're going to be fighting for their friends.
Yeah, it's just every trailer they showed for this, it's just this, like... this highlight reel of these terrible quotes that are out, might be fine inside of the story, but out of context, it's just like, I fight for my friends. We can do anything if we stand together. With our swords combined, we will defeat Skeletor. Yeah, it's just, it's killing me, man. And while it was cool to see that, like, some of my favorite characters, like Robin, are going to be playable in that game, it's also weird because they did this, like, introductory cutscene that was a reference to Fire Emblem Awakening. But even though Fire Emblem Awakening happened on the 3DS with these pre-rendered graphics, and even though these graphics are, like, sort of pre-rendered themselves, the 3DS version was so much better, like, better acted, better facial animations, and I'm just, I just feel like this whole, like, Dynasty Warriors Cross Nintendo franchise is such a cash-in, and that, at this point, they realize they don't have to make much of a game, so they just kind of, like, put anything out there.
Well, I think it's, Nintendo's gonna end up with an egg on their face with this one, because I think what sold the other one is just the fact that it was Zelda.
Yeah, which granted,
Fire Emblem doesn't carry the same weight as Zelda, and I just feel, for all the Switch owners out there that, you know, because there's so many people that bought a Switch that aren't just, like, diehard Nintendo people, and, you know, I don't feel like they're going to purchase this game. And you know, for me, I told you this earlier, that it was so odd to me that the E3 trailer that they showed during the Direct didn't show any gameplay. And I guess it's because there's not much more to see, you know, beyond, like, your four different
combinations. They had it on the live stream, and I feel like I saw 30% of that game.
30? You probably saw 70.
I mean, well, I haven't seen the other characters, and they're going to have different animations, Matthew. That's really all
the Musou game is. You and I had fun with Hyrule Warriors, even though it's stupid fun.
Yeah, but after you play through the maps 3 times, you realize that there's not really much interesting that's happening.
To the game.
You know, some of the cool moments of Hyrule Warriors, like fighting the Dodongo for the first time, or encountering Ganondorf. They were really cool, and then they happened 600 more times, and it got a little less special every time until it eventually was, like, throwing, like, 3 boss monsters at you at the same time, and it was just a chore. And that's what those games are. They're chores.
Yeah, and again, I think what made that one cool was the fact that it was Zelda. I mean, that's the only reason I think I touched that game.
Right.
Because, you know, it's Zelda. I like Zelda. It was cool seeing all these different Zelda characters and going over... I think you played through every timeline of every major Zelda game, which, you know, that felt pretty cool. For me, for Fire Emblem, and I think for all the other people that aren't huge Fire Emblem fans, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah, and people like these Musou games, and people, you know, Fire Emblem's been a hot franchise as of late, but you're also sandwiching that in between the Fire Emblem remake on the 3DS. That was pretty good, and the long-awaited console version of Fire Emblem that's going to come to Switch next year, and then you pack in the mobile title that's constantly being updated, and, like, I don't feel like there's room for this. I feel like there's going to be a little fatigue with that franchise, but we shall see. We will see later on in the year. I'm excited to see if I'm wrong. I would love to be absolutely wrong. I would love for the game to be fantastic and just a joy to play with both of us. I'm pretty sure that's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So that was your one item rundown. Like I said, slow week here. We've got Splatoon. You're gonna be watching this probably on after the Splatoon Direct has happened. So know that we're gonna talk about that next week. We're recording this on at like 2 a.m. on Wednesday, I think it's, well, technically Thursday. So we'll get back to you on that next week. But thank you so much for tuning into We the People and this little brief episode. Remember, we are a product of the Bento Block, so check out the other work on thebentoblock.com. And, do all the internet things. You know, I'm begging you here. Subscribe and share with your friends and all that stuff, man. Please? Please? So anyway, we'll see you next week with some Splatoon news, and check out ARMS. See what you think about it. Rent it. Play it at a friend's house.
Splatoon.
Yep. Goodbye.